It's Tuesday, August 4th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. We begin today with a special announcement. And that is the formation of three new normal chapters here in these great United States. First of all, the one that I'm really happy about, Salt Lake City Normal in Utah, has been officially recognized. And a college chapter at Cal State University Monterey Bay is now online. And Pikes Peak Normal in Colorado Springs, Colorado. So three new chapters. You can check out their listings on the Normal Chapters page, normal.org/chapters, to get in touch with those people if you want to be involved in marijuana law reform in those areas. And to get some chapters started in some other locations, let's do some shout-outs.
It's a normal shout-out.
First, we want to remind everyone that even though California is well represented by normal chapters, it's such a big and populous and important state that we can't have too many normal chapters. So wherever you are in the Golden State, send me an email at stash@normal.org and we'll look to see if we can form a normal chapter in your area. Also, in the great Northeast, from the state of New Hampshire, I've received some emails from people that want to start a chapter. I'm still very motivated to get a chapter started in the state of Delaware. Karina Amato in Baltimore, Maryland is working on putting her chapter together and is looking for interested volunteers. I received an email this week from Washington State University where they're looking to form a campus chapter. And folks in South Carolina, we're still trying to round you all up to form another chapter of Normal there. So any of those locations or any location you might be at in the United States, Canada, or anywhere around the world where you'd like to form a normal chapter, send me an email at stash@normal.org. Also, a big reminder that my trip to Idaho is this weekend on the 8th from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Mountain Time. I'll be appearing at the Flying Pie Pizza on Fairview Avenue. If you Boise, Nampa, Caldwell, Treasure Valley, Idahoans want to get involved with ending marijuana prohibition, meet me there at the Flying Pie for some free pizza and some great information. We also need to take a look at the Normal Calendar of Events, which you can find at normal.org/calendar. What time is that? Nothing happening for Wednesday, but on Thursday, Philly Normal is having their open meeting at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time till 9:30 p.m. It's at 4722 Baltimore Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. This is an open meeting, and they always have their meetings on the first and third Thursdays of every month at the A Space. And for more information, check out phillynormal.org. Now, coming up on today's Daily Audio Stash, we start with your hemp headlines, including a look from CBS News on whether or not Marinol, or as they call it, the pot pill, is actually medically effective. We have a new study that shows how the war on drugs became the war on pot in the 1990s. And we get some reefer madness from my favorite lockpicking prohibitionist, John English, in Portland, Oregon, writing in the Examiner. This time, it's about marijuana in driving in something I call John English 3, Fast and Furious. Today is Tuesday, so we'll be featuring Eric Brenner and the California Marijuana Report. In our Daily Toker Tunes brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, we feature Variety Tuesday and a song called Public Service Announcement by Anders Manga. And in our Government at Work segment, well, it's August, and most governments aren't at work during the month of August. So I'm going to replay an interview with Pennsylvania Representative Cohen on his medical marijuana bill that he sponsored in the Pennsylvania legislature. This is an interview from this March. All that and more coming up on your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. CBS News, does the pot pill work? Medical marijuana, the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration says, already exists. They don't just mean in California. A pill known as Marinol has been legal and approved by the Food and Drug Administration for use with a prescription anywhere in America since 1985. Its active ingredient? Dronabinol, better known as THC, the primary psychoactive element of the cannabis plant. Quote, Marinol provides standardized THC concentrations, does not contain the other 400 uncharacterized substances found in smoked marijuana, such as carcinogens or fungal spores, and is not associated with the quick high of smoked marijuana, end quote, said Neil Hirsch, a spokesman for Marinol manufacturer Solvay Pharmaceuticals. Once again, it's about smoked marijuana. Prohibitionists cannot conceive of a vaporizer or a pot brownie. The lack of quick relief, not high, and lacking the other cannabinoids, not uncharacterized substances, are exactly the problems with Marinol. Dr. Mitch Earlywine, an associate professor of clinical psychology at the State University of New York at Albany, said, quote, one problem with Marinol is that it's orally administered. Therefore, it takes longer to work than cannabis inhaled from a vaporizer, usually 90 minutes at best, rather than 15 seconds, a meaningful amount of time to be nauseated. It's harder to control dosage too, so folks end up discombobulated or without symptom relief. In addition, folks who are vomiting can't hold down the pills, end quote. Earlywine also said that a dose of Marinol costs 3 to 5 times as much as a comparable dose of medical marijuana. The supporters of Marinol will cling to the smoked marijuana point in order to have some measure of harm, like the negative health effects of smoking anything and the presence of carcinogens in any smoke, while blissfully ignoring all the research showing cannabis to have an anti-tumoral effect and actually reducing the risk of head and neck cancers. But what it really boils down to is the high. They just can't stand the idea that people feel a certain euphoria from using cannabis. Dr. Herbert Kleber, a professor of psychiatry at Columbia University and the former deputy drug czar under President George H.W. Bush, said he has prescribed Marinol to a patient and found it to be effective, and points to what he characterizes as a significant advantage of the pill over traditional marijuana. Quote, people don't abuse it. Marijuana addiction is becoming common, and as a result, I'm seeing an increasing number of people who have trouble stopping marijuana. Contrary to popular belief that there is no marijuana withdrawal, there is marijuana withdrawal. It's very clear-cut, end quote, he said. Yes, there is a clear-cut definition of marijuana withdrawal. It happens to about 9% of the people who try marijuana, compared to 32% of tobacco users and 15% of alcohol users. Symptoms of the withdrawal, according to the Institute of Medicine, may include restlessness, irritability, mild agitation, and sleep disruption. And this has been observed only under unique patient settings. These remain limited to adolescents in treatment facilities for substance abuse problems and in a research setting where subjects were given marijuana or THC daily. But let's think about this idea of dependence and withdrawal. Anybody here ever try to quit smoking cigarettes? How would you compare a tobacco Nicky Fit to a cannabis dry spell? Anybody here ever help an alcoholic quit drinking? How would you compare an alcoholic dry drunk to a cannabis dry spell? Anybody here ever known or been a cocaine or heroin or meth addict? How would you compare quitting those drugs cold turkey to a cannabis dry spell? Heck, even quitting a long-term coffee habit is tougher than putting down the joint. Part of the problem here is the concept of marijuana as a medicine rather than as a supplement. Medicines are either a short-term fix that you quit once the particular affliction is cured, or a long-term fix that you use for the rest of your life to cope with an incurable affliction. So medical marijuana causes cognitive dissonance in the minds of the prohibitionists. They might accept the notion of smoking a joint to deal with a migraine or chemo, but when that person is feeling well and smoking a joint anyway, that is as odd to them as someone chugging Pepto-Bismol just for the taste of it. I prefer Lanny Swerdlow's notion that cannabis is a supplement that you take to mitigate the effects of aging. A supplement, like multivitamins, fiber powders, or calcium chewables. Something you take to maintain your body's health, not something you take to cure your body's sickness. Our body has an endocannabinoid system, and this flower has evolved to supplement it, thereby attracting creatures that will reproduce it, much like other flowers evolved to provide honeybees with food so they'd pollinate the flowers. I've always felt cannabis was nature's gift to us to make up for the curse of sentience, knowing that our death is inevitable and having the tools to extend our life far beyond the years our bodies were designed for. Do some people get restless, irritable, mildly agitated, and sleep-deprived when they stop using cannabis? Well, if cannabis was helping them relax and sleep, then sure. You might as well call excessive thirst a symptom of water withdrawal. The point is that you can only consider cannabis withdrawal a problem if you believe regular cannabis use is somehow problematic. Since most of the problems associated with regular cannabis use are caused by prohibition, not the cannabis itself, in a legalized world, regular cannabis use would seem as something like regular coffee use. Some people like it, a few use it a lot, can't get through their day without it, and have trouble quitting it if they're having problems with it. But nobody considers a coffee Jones serious enough to require rehab. How the war on drugs became the war on marijuana in the 1990s. From the Harm Reduction Journal. Background. As the war on drugs enters the latter half of its third decade since being forged into the American lexicon by President Ronald Reagan, the public has grown more skeptical of the current strategy and has proven to be receptive to a broader consideration of alternatives to incarceration. This has been the case most notably with marijuana offenses, where the policy discussion has shifted in some localities to one of decriminalization or deprioritizing law enforcement resources dedicated to pursuing possession offenses. Despite the increased profile surrounding marijuana policy in recent years, there remains a significant degree of misunderstanding regarding the current strategy, both in terms of how resources are being allocated and to what eventual gain. Methods. Previous studies have analyzed drug offenses as a general category, but there has yet to be a single study that is focused specifically on marijuana offenders at all stages of the system. This report analyzes multiple sources of data for the period 1990 to 2002 from each of the critical points in the criminal justice system, from arrest through court processing and into the correctional system, to create an overall portrait of this country's strategy in dealing with marijuana use. Results? The study found that since 1990, the primary focus of the war on drugs has shifted to low-level marijuana offenses. During the study period, 82% of the increase in drug arrests nationally, 450,000, was for marijuana offenses, and virtually all of that increase was in possession offenses. Of the nearly 700,000 arrests in 2002, 88% were for possession. Only 1 in 18 of these arrests results in a felony conviction, with the rest either being dismissed or adjudicated as a misdemeanor, meaning that a substantial amount of resources, roughly $4 billion per year for marijuana alone, is being dedicated to minor offenses. Conclusion? The results of this study suggest that law enforcement resources are not being effectively allocated to offenses which are most costly to society. The financial and personnel investment in marijuana offenses, at all points in the criminal justice system, diverts funds away from other crime types, thereby representing a questionable policy choice. But those funds are being effectively allocated to offenses that keep cops employed, arrest numbers up, and grant and seizure money flowing. Law enforcement can point to the increase in drug abuse arrests and say how awful the drug problem has become to justify bigger budgets. If other crime types should increase due to diversion of manpower and money to pot offenses, well, then law enforcement points at the increased crime and tells us how much crime has risen because of the awful drug abuse problem.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
John English 3, Fast and Furious. My favorite local Portland lock-picking, logic-impaired prohibitionist is at it again. This time, the peril of stoned drivers. John's in full-blown reefer madness mode from the opening paragraph.
Ask yourself, do marijuana users, who can be found in the wee hours of the morning, staring at the white noise of a blank TV screen, off the air for hours, be competent drivers? Every druggie has laughed about having found themselves in that position.
What is this television channel in the 21st century that goes off the air? John, it's called the Digital Transition. Your old Magnavox console with the built-in 8-track and turntable won't pick up our fancy-schmancy high-def 24-hour digital channels, dag nabbit. John provides a cut-and-paste of a study that says pot smokers are 3 to 7 times more likely to cause an accident. He's kind enough to provide footnotes to these esteemed scientists' work. But John's been hammered in his comments section by me and quite a few well-educated people, pointing out every flaw in his argument and every deficit in his scientific claims. There is a simple explanation. John's scientists are pure as the driven snow, and our scientists are druggies, with a self-serving agenda bankrolled by evil, world-dominating billionaires.
In fact, those who leave comments claim it's just the opposite. Of course, they're users, trying to tell you that they're fine to drive, and they'll refer to studies proving just the opposite of what is only common sense, that using marijuana doesn't impair drivers. So where's the truth? There are seemingly competent scientists who are also users and will evidently produce studies to further their agendas and or those who pay them. And don't forget, Behind the scenes, there are also wealthy men and organizations willing to bankroll anything to further their goal of legalization.
And the next claim will make Dr. Earlywine and every other scientist who's ever tried to get a grant to study the medicinal properties of cannabis fall right out of their chair.
These scientists, they're also a concern for those attempting to find the truth. Truth is, they're under pressure. One, if academics, they need to be published authors. Being published in the scientific and research field means more respect and impacts tenure issues. And two, how better to get more grant money than to produce something controversial?
Oh yeah, the money is just flowing for controversial marijuana studies. Can't you just stick to the standard Reefer Madness lines like, "This ain't your father's Woodstock weed"?
Understand also that the marijuana of this generation is not the same as their parents smoked. Pot then had a THC content of 1 to 3%. Now, the THC content is surging up to 25%. That too will be covered in future articles. One can expect an increase of physiological and psychological problems with higher dosages.
Sure, the flower children were all smoking barely above industrial hemp ditchweed. That explains laugh-in, be-ins, massive afros, bell-bottoms, and the Grateful Dead. All that lousy, weak pot our parents were smoking. I could cite the studies that show heavily stoned drivers drive no worse than a 0.05 blood alcohol content driver, or that we tend to drive slower and leave more room, but also tend to wander a bit in the lane. John would just say those are druggy scientists. It doesn't matter because nobody's advocating for people to be allowed to drive stoned. Making marijuana legal is not going to increase any smoking and driving because the idiots who would do that are doing that now. When marijuana is legal, police will still be able to bust drivers who demonstrate impairment or poor driving. So many of these prohibitionist fears are based on the notion that making marijuana legal will mean suddenly people will start smoking it. Out of nowhere, we'll have increased healthcare costs, lost productivity, impaired drivers, psychotic teenagers, and rampant crime. You can only buy into that if you don't know that 22 million people are smoking pot this year, 14 million this month, 3 million this week. If the projected harms of legalized marijuana exist, we would have seen them by now because so many people have been smoking marijuana for so long. Don't smoke and drive. Don't drive impaired. It's all we ask of beer drinkers, and they're far more dangerous drivers.
You've got to win people over. You can't just drone on like Ben Stein. You've got to have a little more showmanship. Here, watch.
NormalCon 2009. Yes, We Cannabis. September 24th through 26th, 2009, in San Francisco, California.
The war on drugs has been an utter failure, and I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
President Obama was right in 2004, and 5 years later, the American people agree.
I think it's time for debate, and I think that we ought to study very carefully on what other countries are doing that have legalized marijuana.
At our 38th annual conference, you'll learn all the facts you need in the debate to legalize marijuana.
As regards to legalization, it's not in the president's vocabulary, and it's not in mine.
We're working hard to make sure legalization is in the drug czar's vocabulary.
Whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy, the answer is no. I don't think that is a good strategy.
There's nothing funny about legalization, Mr. President, or waiting until the last minute to book your trip to NormalCon 2009. Early bird registration rates apply until August. Registration, sponsorships, and vending information is available at norml.org or by calling 888-67-NORMAL.
sweet California sunshine.
California Marijuana Report.
Marijuana!
Marijuana.
Exhibit A.
California Marijuana Report. From Marin County, California.
Brenner. This is the California Marijuana Report for the week of August 3rd, 2009. I'm Eric Brenner. This week, San Francisco libertarian activist Starchild busted in South Dakota for marijuana. He's now facing felony charges. We also head to Marin County and hear from Bob Weir and Kingfish. Only on the California Marijuana Report. San Francisco libertarian activist Starchild arrested along with a friend in South Dakota while he was en route to New Hampshire for a libertarian festival. Starchild, thank you so much for joining us this week on the California Marijuana Report.
On your show, and I appreciate the work you're doing here. Yeah, this is June 23rd. We were, as you say, driving on the way to the Free State Project Festival, and we're a little bit running behind and going kind of fast to make up some time. And my friend was driving. We got pulled over for a traffic stop. The officer did something which struck me as kind of unusual and a little bit nerve-wracking at the time, which I subsequently learned is standard procedure in South Dakota. He had my friend get out of the car and go back and sit with him in the patrol car while he filled out his paperwork. And while he was back there, apparently, he started asking some questions, and my friend subsequently told me he felt a little bit, manipulated or pressured to reveal something. The officer was saying, like, well, you know, if you tell me now, it'll go easier with you if you do have anything, you know. And he said, well, there might be some marijuana in the car or something like that. So the officer came back and told me that he was going to search the car. I told him I didn't consent to a search, disregarded that, perhaps feeling at that point he had probable cause or whatever. He went ahead and searched it as we were standing at a distance from the car, so I didn't see exactly what he was going through, but he ended up charging us with possession of marijuana paraphernalia, with a $250 ticket each, and wrote my friend a speeding ticket as well for $110. So, you know, obviously that was kind of messed up, and we weren't terribly happy about it, but it wasn't the end of the world. We continued on our way and pulled over for gas at one point, and I started driving, and about 2 hours after the original stop, we were still in South Dakota near Sioux Falls in Minnehaha County. And I noticed an officer sitting in the median strip in a patrol car, and I was traveling with a number of other vehicles. I don't think I was going significantly faster than anybody else, but, you know, of course I slowed down anyway when I saw her, as I think probably others did, and pulled into the right lane, and there's a line of vehicles, and she pulled out of the median strip and came up and pulled in right behind us and pulled us over. Said later that I had been going 78. Actually, she came back and, you know, had me sit in the patrol car now and showed me the little gun and said 78. And she said this was a 65 zone, which apparently around Sioux Falls it is a 65 zone, and the rest of the state's like 75. But anyway, she started going through the same routine of like asking me, you know, do you have any weapons? Do you have any drugs on you, any knives or anything that hurt me, this kind of thing. And, you know, I said, nothing to hide, and, you know, you're not in any danger here from me, but I don't want to discuss anything outside of the traffic stop, you know, without an attorney. And next thing I know, I hear her getting on her radio and calling for a canine unit. About four other squad cars show up, you know, a bunch of officers, at least six officers or so, including an officer with a dog. And the officer with the dog gets out and brings the dog out, you know, and circles around the car with the dog, and the dog's just like, you know, jumping up all over the car. But, you know, as far as I could tell, it wasn't reacting to anything in particular. It was, for all I know, the dog was happy to be out of the backseat of the patrol car and just excited because the officer's all, you know, leading it over there, and then, you know, afterwards, like, you know, rubbing it down, like, you know, good dog, you know, give it some treat or something. So that, to me, was not exactly conclusive either, but they assumed or, you know, decided apparently that they had grounds and searched our whole car. Arrested both of us for possession of marijuana, possession of paraphernalia, and possession of a controlled substance, which they subsequently identified as hash. Now, hash, of course, hashish is a derivative of marijuana. It's just concentrated marijuana resin. But apparently in South Dakota, it's a felony, and doesn't even matter how much.
Star Trail, clearly the answer should have been no when the trooper questioned you, do you have any drugs or weapons in the car?
Well, I did actually say no, but not in so many words. Probably if I'd kept it a little bit more cut and dry, you know, hindsight being 20/20, that might have been a better answer. I don't know if she might have determined to call the dog anyway. You know, the thing that I always try to do is not give the authorities any more information than I'm absolutely required to do. And in general, I think that is good advice. That is a good approach to limiting your exposure to legal trouble. You know, you never consent to a search. You know, you never let them inside your house. If you, of course, if you tell them something that's directly untrue, you know, and they later discover to the contrary, then you can be charged with lying to a police officer. So that's something to be aware of. I like to let them know that I'm somebody who knows my right. That was sort of one way of doing that. You know, I knew that I was not required legally to answer that question, whether I had anything in the car or not. Like, she should be asking it. It was a traffic stop, you know, pull over for speeding. So that was my position.
And I think it's, and by the way, I think it's the right position to take. But maybe it was questionable on whether you should have shared your thoughts on your position or shared your position with this officer. But again, that's hindsight. We must look forward. You spent 24 hours in jail. This was an uncomfortable 24 hours in county jail there in the state of South Dakota. Where are you at now with this?
Now, as you know, obviously I'm back here in San Francisco. However, I still have to go back there again. I've already been back once for an arraignment. Actually, the arraignment could have all been handled over the phone, which is typical. I mean, the system really has no respect for other people's time or convenience. They think nothing of making me fly halfway across the country to do something that could have been handled over the phone. But, you know, right now I'm just kind of waiting on hearing back what happens with these dates getting reassigned, because my attorney thinks things are going to get shuffled around a little bit.
Now, how much jail time, how much prison time are you facing because of these charges?
Well, that's the scary thing. You know, the maximum penalty for a controlled substance count, you know, which there's two counts, it's 10 years apiece and $20,000. Well, they gave me a date for trial in September, which, you know, is probably going to change because my attorney's going to be out of town part of that that month, and these are the dates you should get bumped back anyway, because when people file motions and so forth, then that changes the schedule. So we don't know for certain at this point.
Okay. Star Child, listen, we're going to follow this case. I want you to please stay in close contact with the California Marijuana Report. We will not let you go down. We're going to make sure you beat this charge and or these charges. And it's all for a small amount of cannabis. And this is what people go through all throughout the world in different countries. And now, of course, you in South Dakota for essentially a small amount of cannabis. Star Child, thank you so much for joining us today on the California Marijuana Report.
All right. Thank you again, Eric.
The river flows, it flows to the sea. Wherever that river goes, that's where I want to be. Flow, river, flow. Let your waters wash down. Take it from this road.
And now some California marijuana music. Here's Bob Weir and Kingfish, Padlock Cufflinks, from 1992, Sundown on the Forest. Bob Weir and Kingfish are California rock legends, only on the California Marijuana Report.
Can't feel no pain. He got tattoos from the rock pile. He got connections left to make you wait. He like a reptile from the gutter. You deal with him, he nothing go down straight. He doing business now by the kitchen sink with ringing boots. And when he talks, he sleeps papers and wings. Must be his padlock cufflinks. She on his elbow, so pale and pretty, in a hurry to get well again. They hit the restroom down the Chevron. They leave it laughing now down the moon. He could be calling in for new prescriptions or hit the pharmacy, he's on the moon. His kids are strung out across the mainland and something's kicking it in some new ballroom. He doing his business now by the kitchen sink. Must be his padlock cufflinks.
This has been the California Marijuana Report for the week of August 3rd, 2009. Special thanks to Starchild, Quicksilver Messenger Service, Bob Weir and Kingfish, and of course Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Please join our group on Facebook. I'm Eric Brenner for the California Marijuana Report.
Hey Tokers, this is Radical Russ. There's only one thing I love as much as fine Oregon bud, and that's spicy food so hot it'll peel paint. Thanks to the generous sponsorship of HerbAgeDesigns.com, I'm putting both my true loves to the test to support the launch of Normal Show Live. It's the El Jefe Chicken Hot Wings Eating Contest, Friday, August 28th, here in Portland, and the contest benefits the American Red Cross, another favorite charity of mine. You can help. We're signing up pledges for the contest starting as low as 25 cents per wing, up to the 20 wings I'm pledging to eat. You can win, too. The top money entry and a randomly selected entry win HerbAge prizes and one of my Starfish Designs Gandalf-style pieces of glass art. Send in your entry to stash@normal.org with the subject Hot Wings Contest and tell me how much you'll pledge per wing, up to 20 wings. Also include your real name, age, and shipping address should you win the prize. Only entries from adults 18 and older will be accepted. Starfish Designs prizes will not be shipped to Idaho, Pennsylvania, or Indiana.
The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker Tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. For Variety Tuesday, we're listening to the instrumental track Public Service Announcement by Anders Manga, which was nominated in the 2007 Marijuana Music Awards. Based in North Carolina, Anders Manga's music is in club rotation around the world. Having released a number of albums since 2005, this month sees the release of the artist's latest EP, Catastrophe. Anders Manga has toured the East Coast and performed at festivals in New Orleans. His music is climbing the charts of alternative radio stations worldwide, and some of his singles have become club favorites. To check out the latest about Anders Manga and grab his latest EP, go to myspace.com/AndersManga. That's AndersManga. And enjoy Public Service Announcement by Anders Manga.
Marijuana is the bomb. Marijuana is the bomb. Marijuana is an narcotic. Marijuana is the bomb. Marijuana is the bomb. Marijuana is the bomb. Marijuana is the bomb. Marijuana is the bomb.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Tuesday is our look at your government at work here at the Audio Stash. While the inevitable re-legalization of cannabis hemp will have to happen at the federal level, the steps leading to that destination take place at the state and municipal levels. We focus in on the initiatives, bills, and amendments regarding cannabis across all 50 states and what activists like you are doing to enact a positive reform to our cruel and outdated marijuana laws.
Body dies,
working hard to make an impact in your city and state, please email us at stash@normal.org and let's share your local efforts with the worldwide cannabis community. Together, we can affect our government at work.
Afternoon pollution rises high into the sky. How can we still deny the truth?
We're very excited about the developing items that are happening in various states around the country who are attempting to enact protections for the legal use of marijuana for medicinal purposes by sick or disabled folks. And we are very excited to be speaking with Representative Mark Cohen today, who represents Northeast Philadelphia in the great state of Pennsylvania. Welcome to the show, Representative.
Thank you very much.
Now, you've been in the news, and we've featured you in our news segments at NORML with your talk about producing a medical marijuana bill for the state of Pennsylvania. What led you to want to produce such legislation in your state?
Well, the Philadelphia Metro, a free daily newspaper, raised questions with me about what I thought about it. And I said, well, I'd be interested in supporting it if it had public support. And then I figured that with all the internet communities I'm a member of, I could pretty much make a quick estimate as to how much public support it had. So I'm a member of, I've got a lot of Facebook friends, I'm on PhillyBlog, I'm a member of Young Philly Politics, so I just asked the question. And all three areas I got overwhelming support. And, you know, some of the people in the communities tend to be pretty conservative. So I was very much encouraged, and then one of the persons who responded, gave me information about a poll that had been taken 3 years ago in Pennsylvania. At the time, the race for U.S. Senator between Rick Santorum, then the incumbent, and Bob Casey, now the incumbent, who's heating up. And it was a sample that overestimated Republican strength in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. But it gave Casey a slim lead. Ultimately, he won by 18% over Santorum. And that somewhat more conservative than Pennsylvania poll sample had support for medical marijuana at 76%. As opposed to 20% who are against it.
Mm. So you
and that and all the other soundings I had been taking showed that there is support for it, and I'm now working with staff and with Normal and others to try to produce a piece of legislation that, in my judgment, could pass in Pennsylvania.
Have you been?
Pennsylvania is the most socially conservative of the blue states, so this is not legislation that would probably be the first choice of all Normal members, you know, but I'm trying to get a bill through. I'm not a candidate for president of Normal.
Exactly. And so looking at what's going on nearby in New Jersey, has that led you to want to move forward?
The fact that the New Jersey State Senate passed a bill which looks somewhat encouraging. And the Governor Corzine has agreed to sign the bill if it passes. I think these are very helpful signs.
Have you had any contact with medical marijuana patients or had any personal experiences that led you to understand this issue about medical marijuana?
I have not had any personal experiences with anybody who's taken marijuana. I have had personal experiences with people who have suffered from various diseases that it is claimed will be improved. Conditions will be improved by medical marijuana. I'm aware of the agony that people, for instance, with Crohn's disease and other digestive diseases go through. I'm aware of the agony that glaucoma patients go through, and I'm aware of the claims that medical marijuana in certain cases could help these people. And it seems to me that it's up to a qualified doctor to make a decision as to what is in the best interest of each patient. And it's not up for the state legislature or the federal government. And I want to see the doctors get the freedom to make those judgments they think are in the best interest of their patients.
Hmm. So what is your next step then? Do you plan on introducing the bill soon?
Yes, I do. I intend to introduce the bill by the beginning of April.
Oh, that's excellent, and we'll cover that, of course, once it gets announced. Now, to this point, has there been any organized opposition to this bill from law enforcement or other more conservative legislators?
No, there's not. I assume when the bill is introduced, a lot of people are going to read it, and they will nitpick it, and that's what the legislative process is about. I want to write a bill that is very clear, that it's helping people who really need the help. It's got to be a prescription from a reputable doctor. And we got to develop a system that the medical marijuana produces significant tax revenues for the people of Pennsylvania. But we don't want to tax it so heavily that nobody will buy the legal marijuana because the illegal marijuana is so much cheaper.
We have 13 states now that have various medical marijuana programs, from what's kind of a freewheeling system in California to a more strict system that they would have in some of the other states. How much involvement do you anticipate involving the state of Pennsylvania in this program with respect to registrations or dispensing?
I think there'll be significant involvement by the state of Pennsylvania. I think that's the only way to get it through. I don't think it'll be at all a freewheeling program like California's.
Okay. So do you anticipate like a registry system for cardholders?
I would see a registry system for cardholders. We would specifically say that that information as to who the cardholders are will be private information. It will not be discoverable by the media or anyone else under our state right to know law. But we will have registration of doctors. We will have registration of distribution facilities. We will have registration of patients. There'll be fees associated with it, and in all likelihood, the other products themselves will be taxed. So the state should make a significant amount of money out of this, which will be a major selling point.
Yeah, isn't Pennsylvania one of the states that's facing severe budget deficits at the moment, correct?
Pennsylvania is facing severe budget deficits at the moment, and we have long-term budget deficits, too.
Yeah, it's...
Because our pension fund, we're one of the states that thought it was a great idea to invest pension funds in the stock market. It was a great idea when the stock market was booming. Now, if the stock market is not booming, it's a nightmare. So our budget problems are not going to end when we enact the budget in June, unless there's a stunning stock market recovery. So we have to worry about long-term financial improvement. I doubt that this will be enacted by the end of June, but I'm sure it will still be relevant to the state's fiscal situation, because it would be a steady source of revenue over the long haul.
So based on what you were saying earlier, you know, and there's the old famous political saying from James Carville about Pennsylvania from one end to the other. And do you anticipate problems trying to sell this to the legislators? Who
I
are
do
in
not
more...
believe this is going to be easy.
Yeah.
You know, what I'm trying to do is craft a bill which makes it available to the most vulnerable populations to whom the legislature is most sympathetic.
Great.
And it generates a significant amount of state revenues for a state that needs state revenues and doesn't really want to raise taxes.
Understood.
So I think this is a bill that, you know, I think it's, we're going to craft a bill which, in my judgment, the judgment of people I'm working with, will have about a 50-50 chance of passage over the next few years. I spoke to an advocate who said, well, the state ought to just give out free marijuana. I said, well, you know, it depends what you want to do. I mean, if you want to have a bill that, that sort of acts to bear witness, and you don't really care whether it becomes a law in 50 or 100 or 500 or 1,000 years, don't get introduced a free marijuana bill.
Yeah.
But if you want a bill that's got a reasonable chance of becoming law within the lifetime of living people.
Yeah, correct.
Then we're not going to have free marijuana.
Right, right. Well, that's...
And I think people understood what I was saying. And,
yeah.
You know, we want a bill that's passable, you know, in the near-term future.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we'll do, and, you know, we'll see what the effects are.
If any of our listeners out there are interested in helping push that bill past the 50-50 mark and maybe into some more positive territory, what suggestions would you have for them?
Well, I think it's important you contact your legislator. People, you know, the legislators are amazingly responsive to individuals who take the time to call them. On the average bill, zero people contact the average legislator. So if there are, if there are 10 or 20 or 30 people from a given district who contact their legislator, that's going to make a pretty big impression. And you have to make a big impression, because you can assume from other states that there'll be some law enforcement or some conservative groups that they're going to be against it. And, you know, it helps to show strong citizen support. Now, the legislature is not rushed into action. California did this in 1996.
Yeah.
And, you know, 12 and a half years later, this will be the first bill introduced in Pennsylvania.
Right. Well,
we've taken our time. We've looked at the experience of other states. The fact that 13 states have now passed it, 9 by voter referendum, is a strong sign of public opinion. The fact there are national polls showing about 80% of the people favor this, and we had a statewide poll 3 years ago that's roughly consistent with the belief that about 80% of the people favor it. The fact that the Philadelphia Metro, a free daily newspaper, did its own online poll and found out that 95% of its online readers were in favor of it. So these all show that there's very, very substantial support for this legislation. There's a very, very strong medical case. There are many, many medical groups, from the New Jersey Nurses Association to the American Academy of Family Physicians to the College of Physicians, to the American Public Health Association that support medical marijuana. And I think that gradually the very strong factual case for it and the strong public support for it will wear down the forces of resistance within the Pennsylvania General Assembly.
Well, we certainly hope so, and we hope that Pennsylvania will join the other states in protecting these people. And we really appreciate the hard work you're doing, Representative Cohen, in getting this bill introduced. Thank you for joining us here on The Stash.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with another one of our cannabis quotes. This one comes from the LaGuardia Commission report of 1944, which concluded, quote, "Cannabis smoking does not lead directly to mental or physical deterioration. Those who have consumed marijuana for a period of years showed no mental or physical deterioration which may be attributed to the drug." End quote. 65 years later, we're still dealing with idiots like John English who thinks marijuana is going to rot your brain away. We all know better. It's our job to inform the folks who don't. So join Normal today at norml.org and contribute a little coin to help us spread the message. We're going to be on 6 days a week, 5 days on the podcast, and 1 day live starting on Labor Day weekend, so we'll have plenty of opportunities to speak out. Thanks for downloading the podcast and supporting Normal, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.